Okay, thank you so much for waiting, everybody. Welcome to the April 5th, 2021 work session. Go ahead and get started here. I'm going to go right into committee and staff reports. So I believe, Travis, if you are ready, you are up.
Hello, thank you. I don't have a ton to pass on through the emergency operations COVID thing today, just that we are close to just under 400 vaccines. It's like right around 487 total, or 387 total done in the community. I know I've seen some discussion about that number. Just to put that out there, a lot of those, or some of those numbers, are we're giving second shots to people that have gotten first shots down south, and stuff like that. And people have been coming in from Juneau to receive shots. Some of our residents that might not be full-time Gus Davis residents have used us at the very beginning of this to get their vaccine before it was open to everybody. I have been doing antigen testing within the school off and on. I just got done doing that today at 4:30 during the volleyball team. We're on a tight, we're doing a schedule of every Monday and Thursday at this point, offering that antigen testing within the sports program. I have a little bit of supplies that do have an expiration date on them. So I have we were hoping it was going to be in the Foxtails today, but we'll work on doing that. But I'll put out a blurb anyways here soon of something that said along the lines of, I'll open up testing for antigen testing or rapid testing for any kids or teachers going back into school to help that process, get them back into the school a little bit faster if they want. If they've traveled, they need to take a PCR test first and have those negative results before we'll do that test. So if you've traveled and you want to try to get back a little bit faster, if that's something, then please just take a PCR test in either Juneau or Gus Davis, have your results, and then I'll give you a wrap. We'll schedule a time on one of my days or in the near future with that grant that you guys approved last meeting to have a tester do that. So I'll be trying to get a hold of somebody out there at CCON to get to me, and so I can talk to them just about some of the questions and comments that I've been getting about what their plans for helping keep Gus Davis safe are, as far as their business and testing and all of that. So I'll be working, trying to get that nailed down. I did ask for their workforce protection plan from the state of Alaska, just in case over the weekend, and theirs is pretty outdated, but it's no longer required anymore either. So it's on my things to do tomorrow, is really track that down. Anyways, think that's all I really have today for you. Thanks.
Thank you, Travis. Any council questions or comments for Travis's report? Go ahead, Councilmember Buckeye.
I just had a comment. I wanted to thank Chief Travis Miller for the work that he's doing to help the school stay safe. It seems like a lot of the school outbreaks these days across the nation are associated to some degree with athletics. And we made it through the basketball season and really appreciate the effort he's put forth in testing. Moving that testing onto the volleyball season there. And then also wanted to thank him, you know, coming up with the idea to extend the antigen testing to both be able to meet the testing requirements and be able to get kids back sooner to school after travel. So both of those are really good wins. I know the superintendent of the Chatham School District was supportive of that antigen testing, and like Travis said, hopefully we'll be able to get an announcement about the availability of that to students soon.
Thank you, John. any other council questions or discussion for Travis? Travis, I also wanted to say a special thank you for all of your efforts and work with the school and testing the traveling sports teams. It is greatly appreciated throughout the community, I'm sure, but especially by myself. So thank you very much. And I guess that is it, unless anybody has any other questions or comments for Travis's report. Okay. Thanks, Travis. Okay, I believe up next we have the city administrator work session report.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening. First, thanks, Council, for the comments and the pay increase. Appreciate that. I appreciate the comments. First item on the report is the flood emergency disaster funds. I communicated with the FEMA lead representative today. They're still working on coordinating the review meetings. Hope to have something by the end of the week. But at this time, we have nothing new to report on. The second item is about public meetings at City Hall. We've received some comments from the public requesting to have the public meetings at City Hall. We could look at doing these meetings with the council seated at the dais and limited amount of space in the City Hall building. We could also consider using the Gustavus Community Center if we could put together an agreement there that would allow for larger audiences. But I guess the primary question is whether or not the council would like to begin having in-person public meetings. Is there any comment or thought about that? Yeah, John.
Yeah, you know, at first blush, the City Hall space is a pretty confined area, and it's pretty tight there. And in terms of distancing and air circulation, I would be hesitant to use that. However, the community center space, we might be able to facilitate public meetings there with good space and good distancing and good ventilation.
Thank you. Still looking at what those details would look like, but if the council's interested, we could pursue speaking with them and looking at what it would take to make that happen. Yeah, Joe V.
Yeah, I'd be interested in knowing just how many people are interested in attending a public meeting like this. I really only know of one, but I don't see the community center working out all that well for staff here. I mean, I would like to have in-person meetings again with the council, but with Karen and Phoebe right here, and they have everything right at their fingertips. You know, and we can ask them questions anytime they want. I don't see how that would work over there. They've got it all right here. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe. Mike?
Yes, presumably we'd have hybrid meetings, so they'd still be available by Zoom. And so if people wanted to participate without coming to the meeting at City Hall or the community center, we could do it that way.
Yes, thank you for that clarifying question. We would still do a hybrid type of meeting, still do the Zoom. In speaking with the clerk, we were trying to identify what it would take in order to ensure that we would be able to hear from council members at the dais, recognizing that we would need to get microphones for each one of the positions that would feed straight into the Zoom meeting so everybody could be heard clearly. There's some technology items that we'd have to work through, but if the council wanted to, I think we could make that happen. Even council members that weren't comfortable coming to City Hall, you know, we can continue to do the same approach as we're doing now through the Zoom. So I was primarily looking to see what kind of interest there was from the council and what kind of concerns so that I could put something together and get that back out to everybody. Any other thoughts on in-person meetings? Yeah, Joe Clark.
Thank you, Tom. I think we should stick with the Zoom meetings at this point in time. That's my two bits.
All right. Thank you, Joe. All righty. Moving on. Okay, the American Rescue Plan Act, ARP is how I have abbreviated it, is still in its unveiling stages. I attended a National League of Cities meeting on Friday. At that time, they didn't have any updates in terms of what and how we could use the funds. Treasury is still coming out with guidelines and direction for using the funds. You may remember when CARES Act got released, it took a couple of weeks for us to understand what Treasury was looking for and then what the state was looking for. So this isn't too unusual. It's a little frustrating because it's budget time and we would like to see how we could utilize these funds most effectively. But what we do know is that this program will run until December 31st of 2024. The funds for Gustavus will go through the state. It will be a pass-through. It will not follow the same type of management act with the state. It comes in two installments, half following the enactment and half 12 months later. So we'll get whatever the calculation will look like and we'll get it twice. We know that small cities like ours cannot get an amount greater than 75% of its pre-pandemic budget revenue. So for us, we look at fiscal year 2019, and that would be the fiscal year prior to the pandemic. And we also know that there's a capital project fund of $10 billion for broadband grants. Now we've had a couple of topic discussions on broadband, so I singled that particular eligibility category out. But there are lots of eligibility categories, and some of them have to address specifically small businesses and nonprofits, similar to CARES Act, impacted industries such as tourism, travel, and the hospitality industries. Although we don't know exactly how we're going to be able to use the funds, this information comes straight out of the act itself and has been reiterated in the different meetings I've attended both at AML and National League of Cities. Are there any particular questions having to do with the ARP Act? Okay, well, hopefully we'll have more information on Friday or before. The fiscal year 22 budget, in case you haven't heard, we have a work session on Thursday at 5:30. That's April the 8th at 5:30. That work session will follow up from the town hall meeting, and the council will see some of the adjustments that were made. They were mostly minor, and we'll have another discussion from there with anticipation of introducing the budget either at the May general meeting, special meeting, or at the June general meeting. The old post office building, as you know, we are working on finding the best way to restore that building. It is within a historic district recognized by the State Historic Preservation Office. I've talked with a couple of council members. We've come up with an idea or an approach to addressing the building. We're trying to keep everything under $10,000. Some of the areas that we're looking at is to bundle some of the projects together and then move through them until we get to a point where the building is serviceable. You can see some of the bullets there of areas that we'd like to focus on, or at least we believe these are areas we need to focus on. I'm working with Council Member Lewis specifically on this approach and continuing to determine what's going to be the best approach to get some of these items specified so that we can determine whether or not it's going to be feasible to do it for $10,000, and if there's anything in there that might be a surprise as we move forward. How does the council feel about us taking this approach? Does this work, or are there other comments? Okay, well, if you have any or any yes, Tanya.
Yeah, thanks. I just would add that actually Council Member Taylor's been doing most of the work on this so far, but I'm happy to help. But I think this will come up in our capital budget, you know, whether we are going to devote $10,000 in the budget to this building. At this point, because we didn't get a bid or a full comprehensive evaluation of the building, we don't know that $10,000 would cover everything, but it might, well, it would hopefully at least take care of the things that are deteriorating the building right now. And so I think we could focus on that first and then see where we get is kind of the approach I have in mind.
Thank you, Tanya. Yeah, thanks for that clarification, John.
Yeah, I'm supportive of an investment in that that structure. It's I think it's a reasonable expenditure to try to maintain some assets that we have around town, and it also goes hand in hand, I think, with the next thing on your administrator's agenda. The you know, when the old Alaska Department of Transportation storage buildings are removed there, and that area is cleaned up, it'll sure look a lot more welcoming to visitors coming into the airport there and into town to have the old post office looking good too.
Yep. Thank you, John. Anything else that from the council? Okay, thank you. Speaking of that building, big kudos out to the mayor. As you can see here, perseverance seems to have paid off. We received this communication from Representative Hannon's office. Looks like she's got a commitment from DOT to get the building raised and the site cleared prior to school starting this season. Yeah. They're projecting August 25th. We also received late today a letter from Lance Merrick, the coastal supervisor for DOT, addressing the letter the mayor sent out. And I truly believe that given Representative Hannon's office interest in this project, we'll see some good results. Work at the airport. So we've received some comments concerning the work at the airport. There's been some information that's come in from DEC and DOT. There is a soil management plan that has been released recently. You can get a copy of that from the city's webpage. You can also see the work plan that they adopted here at this link, or you can also get that from the city webpage. However, there are some community members that are still concerned about the project's procedures. Today I received an email and I passed that along to the council. I can read this email for the public, or they can get a copy of that from the clerk. Does the council have any comments about the email, or would the council like me to read this for the public?
Thanks for offering to do that, Tom. Sure. If you don't mind, just for those who can't see the packet and aren't quite sure what we're talking about, reading the email, thank you.
Sure. The city of Gustavus has present and long-term concerns for its residents from PFAS near the Gustavus Airport. Gustavus has incurred irreparable harm from PFAS affecting our soils. Irreparable harm from PFAS affecting our soils, flora and fauna, surface waters, and shallow water table. No alternative drinking water sources are available. Moreover, Gustavus's once pristine reputation has been tarnished, and property values and resale opportunities have been affected. No immediate solutions are available. Since discovery in 2018, progress has been made in identifying drinking water wells affected in the community and in beginning to understand how the chemicals are moving through the water table. Affected homeowners have been provided bottled water, but little progress has been made on long-term solutions. A site characterization in 2019 started the process of identifying soils in waters near the airport that are affected by PFAS, but the sampling density is too coarse to interpolate between sampling points to determine whether the areas are contaminated. The absence of data does not correlate to an absence of contamination. Any further work that disturbs soils, asphalt, or other infrastructure in the airport area should necessitate additional site-specific sampling and environmental analysis for impacts. At this point, the $20 million airport repaving project has not adequately analyzed their proposed scope of work in the context of PFAS, as the state's environmental analysis was completed in 2011. This is contrary to the requirements of the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA, and grounds for immediate litigation in a stop work order. The airport repaving project is federally funded, which requires compliance with NEPA. To protect our community and begin the process toward a durable, long-term solution to the PFAS problem in Gustavus, the City Council requests the State of Alaska, 1, increase sampling and testing of airport property at a density no less than 8 samples per acre in areas planned to be disturbed. 2, no movement or disturbance of potentially contaminated material, soil, or asphalt until confirmation of test results below actionable levels. 3, no temporary or permanent storage of soil or recycled asphalt on areas up gradient watershed of drinking waters wells, such as the cleared 18 acres at the northwest end of the airport. Application of soil management plan procedures to processing of both soil and asphalt. And 5, improved communication and collaboration with the City of Gustavus and the public prior to any ground disturbing actions on Gustavus Airport property. If additional contaminated materials are identified, we request to be part of the consultation process for scoping next steps, including remediation plans, NEPA analysis, and removal of materials from the city. That concludes the context of the email. Does the council have any comments or discussion of that? Yeah, Tanya.
So, yeah, it's interesting that they want to carry forward with their plan that they made in 2011 before PFAS was identified. So basically they're out of compliance with NEPA, but the DEC, I guess DEC doesn't necessarily care about NEPA, but it seems like they're completely out of compliance and that, they need to kind of should probably start from scratch with the PFAS problem. But I don't know legally, what can we do? We could write a letter from the city, which seems to me that would be a good idea because, I have a lot of concerns about their plan and just the fact that they haven't taken a comprehensive look at the big picture and the fact that there's so much unknown in the picture here. Including, there's no remediation for this soil right now. It's not invented or hasn't been developed. So if they're just moving a bunch of dirt and asphalt around, it just seems a recipe for disaster.
Okay, well, thank you, Tanya. I did get a copy of an email that stated they were looking into the NEPA issue and would be returning or responding to the folks that had written about that issue. Again, I think the soil plan does talk about the amount of soil that's going to be disturbed and the procedures that they're going to take. So if anybody's interested in those details, again, they could get a copy of that from the city's webpage. Yeah, John?
Yeah, I've got a question and a comment. The question is, have we heard from Jesse Keel's or Sarah Hannon's office on these letters of citizen concern, and are they on the state legislative level? Is there support to ask some questions of DOT here?
I did get a copy of a email exchange. I don't have that in front of me. I know that concerned citizens are communicating with our legislators about it, but I don't have an accurate answer or response for you, John.
Okay. And then the comment was, NEPA has a reevaluation process built into it in the event of new information. And I remember when I was looking into this and I came across the NEPA documents, and they were from 2011. And I thought, oh, that can't be it. This must have been another project that was done a while ago. And I realized, no, it is. It's 10-year-old information that they based the NEPA process on. And I think that's one of the reevaluation criteria. I'm looking at it right now. It says the document changes. Don't have the information right here. But basically, the idea that there's new information that needs to be evaluated in terms of the NEPA process. And I think NEPA supports reevaluation based on this. And I think, the emerging contaminant status of PFAS is definitely new information that ought to trigger a reevaluation.
Thank you, John. Mike?
Yes, I'd have to say I'm not expert on this project, nor am I expert on PFAS. But I do recall that last fall, we asked them to provide a safety and health plan for the project. And we specifically suggested that that should include things like traffic on Wilson Road and the issue of PFAS contaminated soils. And they don't seem to have done that. And I think that's a real shortcoming in their project. I don't feel I can make a judgment based on what little I know as to whether their controls are adequate or not. But I think they have the responsibility to demonstrate that. And I think the text in the proposed email that you read is well stated and raises those issues. And I think the state should address them with a top priority. The project's already getting underway and they're behind the ball on this. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Well, there are a couple of things that the council could do. We could write a letter to DOT, copy our legislators, and ask them to address the NEPA issues. We could also incorporate the comments from that email that I read, and we could generate that correspondence. I know that DOT is looking into the issues that were brought up by a couple of the community members. If you want me to draft up a letter similar to what we've done in the past, I can do that. Just need the direction.
I think that is a good... Sorry, Tom. I was going to say yes, please.
Okie doke. All right. Update on the water grant process. I've been working with Village Safe Water. They have revamped their review process, but they have not changed their scoring procedures. I've been working with a representative at Village Safe Water, the same one I have the last couple of grant cycles. And I think we're still in a position where we are challenged with the type of grant that we're looking for. This cycle, the grant for a study had two alternatives. One was for a project less than $500,000 that had an existing water source. So community that had a reservoir or a well that needed to have some improvements, they would be able to qualify for the grant. The other was for a project that was piped, one with delivery infrastructure in it. But at the same time, they did send me this information on portable alternative sanitation systems. The text is here in this report. You can get a copy of the flyer and this report from the city if you're interested in it. Basically, it's a water treatment tank that filters the water from a well, a shallow well or water hole, filters it and then provides it and that meets the DEC standards for consumption. So some folks may be interested in this. So that information is provided. These systems are also available by individual grants through Village Safe Water. If you have some questions, I can get you in contact with them, or you can get the information from the handouts that we have, the information from the handouts we have at City Hall. That is the report for the work session. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer those. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Tom. That was a very thorough report. Okay. Oh, sorry, did you have something else?
No, I just forgot to mute myself.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Moving on to items on the consent agenda. First up is an NCO for public hearing May 10th, 2021. And this is for the introduction providing for the amendment of department budgets for fiscal year 21. Phoebe, did you want to speak on this at all?
I'd love to. So this is towards the end of the fiscal year. Each year we always do some NCOs to adjust the budget one final time to what has actually happened. I'm doing this one a little early. I'll probably have another one again next month to introduce to close out the fiscal year, but I wanted to get some of these numbers out while we're doing budgeting and things like that. But basically this is adjust revenues to what we think we're going to be bringing in, and reduces expenses from things that aren't happening, and the will reduce our budget is currently balanced with a draw on savings although we have not actually had to draw any funds out of savings at this time, but in the original budget, that's what we used for this pandemic year. This, you can see the last line here under the income section. This NCO will reduce the funds needed to balance the budget from savings down to just under $75,000. And I expect that number will go down even more, but that's what I felt like we could introduce with confidence at this time. And so I'll have another one to introduce probably in May, like I said. The budget originally started out with $217,000 from savings. And so now we're down to under $75,000 that may need to come from savings to complete our fiscal year. We still have one more quarter of tax returns to come in for January through March. So we'll get one last plug on tax revenue. And I won't know the full picture of that until the month closes, because I have a lot of returns come in read the last couple days. And so we'll be able to talk about that in May. But that's all this is, unless anybody has questions about specific line items, I can speak to them, but it's just kind of a general adjustments to what's actually happened. Thanks.
Thanks, Phoebe. Any council questions for Phoebe on this NCO? Okay, moving on to item 10. Also for introduction, or sorry, for public hearing, May 10th, 2021. This is introduction of capital project account transfers. Phoebe, did you want to speak to this one at all, or?
Sure, just briefly, one of these projects, the replacement AED monitor is complete. And so the remaining funds in that capital project are being returned. And then the Salmon River Harbor cleanup project and the Gustavus Beach improvements project, both are looking like they will need less funds than originally budgeted. And so we're returning portions of those two capital projects back to the capital, our AMLIP, Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool, capital improvement long-term account. So it's just a returning funds out of our checking that had been earmarked for these capital projects, going back to the general capital improvement pot of money in our AMLIP account.
Thank you, Phoebe. Any council questions or discussion on this item? Okay, moving on to item 11. This NCO will also be up for public hearing May 10th. And this is the introduction of AMLIP CARES account transfer.
I can speak to this one also, Madam Mayor. This is after we did our final withdrawal from the CARES Act AMLIP account to transfer to checking for reimbursement. We accrued additional interest for the remaining partial month. And so this is just transferring the rest of that out to be spent on CARES Act activities.
Thanks, Phoebe. Any council discussion or questions on this item? Okay, moving on to The last item in the consent agenda, this is for the city of Gustavus to waive the right to file a protest of the Glacier Bay Lodge liquor license renewal. And this is a pretty standard piece or document, but is there any council question or discussion about this item?
Madam Mayor, would you like me to provide a little more information for maybe some of the new council members that haven't? Me. Okay. So this is a routine thing that happens seasonally for all of the businesses that sell alcohol. And we haven't had one from Glacier Bay Lodge for a couple of years because they haven't been open, but gives us the council the right to protest. And a reason that maybe you might want to do that is if they were delinquent in their taxes or something. And so usually it just ends up on the consent agenda because usually there's no protest of these documents.
Councilmember
Bockite,
go ahead.
Yeah, just a clarifying question. So this is for Glacier Bay Lodge to continue serving alcohol in the way they have previously. No changes in the operation there, is that correct?
I believe so. My understanding is that this is just to ensure that they can serve alcohol, whether or not there is the pandemic, which I'm sure is what you're referring to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
That was a good clarifying question. Thank you. Any other council questions or discussions on this item? Okay, I guess maybe I can, since John brought this up, recently talked to Tom Schaff, who I think is the superintendent below Superintendent Hoogie, like the next guy in charge, but he said that Aramark is still kind of working through how they're gonna operate as far as having people in the restaurant and whatnot, so. I'm sure we'll hear more about their operations soon since they will be opening next month. Okay, on to new business. The first item is another NCO for fiscal year 22 budget introduction for public hearing, June 14th, 2021. Any council discussion or comments about this item?
Madam Mayor, I just had a quick comment. We put this in here to be on the agenda for next Monday with the assumption that the budget might be ready to come out and be completed after the work session this Thursday, the 8th. And if the council doesn't feel like the budget is ready, then we could just postpone this at the general meeting to the May meeting and introduce it at that time. But we wanted to have a placeholder in for the general meeting next week, in case it was ready to go.
Thanks, Phoebe. Okay, seeing no council comment on that, we'll move on to the next item, which is approval for the Gustavus Public Library Director position description. Hopefully all the council members got a chance to read through this. Is there any council discussion or comment on this item, on this job description? So this is for the restructuring of the library, just FYI. Councilmember Buckeye, go ahead.
Yeah, and this is another clarifying question too. This is with the departure of Jen from the library, this is the restructured position that she had been in. Is that correct?
No, this would be the restructure, but this is Michelle's job. And then the next item, the programs coordinator position description, which is coming up next, would be essentially the job that Jen left.
Okay. Good. Thanks for the clarification. So it's just with Jen's departure, there's an opportunity to restructure both positions, but it's not any changes to the total positions.
Yep. Yeah. This is the time to restructure, and there's a few changes in this job description, so that's why we will vote on it. Thanks for that question. That was a good clarifying question. Before I forget, I did have a question just reading through that maybe, I think Michelle's on here, maybe Tom or Michelle could answer. Under the description, I can't remember exactly where it is, but it was, Karen, sorry, could you scroll up real quick? I had it written down on the page of the packet, but it was about hiring the library assistant as well as, so under supervisory here towards the bottom of the page, hires, trains and supervises library programs coordinator, library assistant, interns. So that library assistant is one of the staffing positions that we have considered for this next budget cycle. But if we don't end up funding that position, is it kind of an easy thing to take that out of this job description if we approve this job description? Am I making sense? Before we decide whether we want that job?
I can speak to that if you'd like, Mayor.
Sure.
Yeah, it's kind of in there when we were just writing all the job descriptions. And that specific statement, no, it does not need to be in there. I would suggest, though, saying instead of library assistant, potentially any other staff. That way, if an assistant position is approved, you know, this year or maybe in years in the future, that this job description doesn't need to be altered to then supervise a new position that's made. So maybe just rewriting that to say other library staff. I guess that would be my only comment. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. That makes sense and seems like a good wording structure restructure in there. Thank you. Mike?
Yeah, actually, I was just going to say, I think that's the right solution. Make it a little vague there. So whatever staff that the positions that the council approves would sort of fit in there. So that's the solution. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Other council comments or discussion on this library director position? Okay. Then the next item is for approval of the public library programs coordinator position description. I wanted to thank Michelle for taking the initiative to think ahead at how to make the library more efficient and restructure the positions. I think this has the potential to make things operate really smoothly, and it makes more sense to my brain to have a director and then the programs coordinator and kind of one work underneath the other. So thank you very much, Michelle, for putting in the time and reworking these descriptions. Okay, not seeing any council discussion or comments on this. Okay, moving on. This next item 16, is repealing and replacing the remote seller sales tax code and common definitions. Tom, did you want to speak to this at all? Or Phoebe?
Sure, I can do that. So this is the commission that was set up by the Alaska Municipal League to address all the vendors outside of Alaska that send goods to Alaska but don't have to pay the local taxes. We already have this incorporated in Title 11. However, that was the first ordinance. This was their first shot at getting the laws written for standardized for each community. Over the year, they've encountered some questions and the need to do some clarification. So they have made changes throughout the what we have as our ordinance. And so what we're doing is deleting our old Title 11 and replacing it with this Title 11. This is coming from the Remote Sellers Committee and their council based on actions throughout the country about folks that send goods over state lines and either don't or don't pay the correct amount of sales tax. Is that clear enough? Are there any questions? Yeah, Mike.
It's not clear to me how we can make a change to our code with a resolution. It seems to me that we have to do an ordinance to change, to repeal something that we have in code and put something else in. Do we have any direction on that, say from our city attorney, or have you figured that issue out?
We should have an ordinance that follows the resolution part of it. If it's not on the packet, I will get that included. But there is, it's the entire, here we go, ordinance.
That's
okay, yeah, maybe right that does it.
Thank you, Karen. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Okay, so I guess that covers the ordinance as well then. Any other council comments or questions on either of those two items? Go ahead, Mike.
So I guess we have to introduce this ordinance and then pass it the next meeting. Is that the plan?
Well, it's up for public hearing in May, on May 10th.
Okay, so it gets introduced this in April and is up for public hearing in May. Okay, thanks, I understand now.
Thanks for clarifying, those are good questions. any other council questions or comments or discussion on anything dealing with the remote sellers tax? Okay, thank you. All right, item 18 is for our capital improvement plan for years 2021 through 2025.
I can kind of introduce where we're at with this. We've discussed this now at a couple of meetings, and we're kind of getting to the finalizing stage. I think basically we need to make decisions for the 2021 projects. So if folks are up for discussing that tonight, we could try to make some headway and maybe finish this off tonight or not, depending on how you guys are feeling. I think everybody is feeling pretty good about the mid-range and long-range projects last we discussed. So I think it's mostly just talking about the 2021 projects. Karen, if you wanted to make me co-host, I could share the screen that I'm the edited editable version. So when we last, this is our, where we kind of left off with the 2021 projects. It seemed like the council was mostly in favor of moving forward with kind of engineering and planning phases this calendar year. And then maybe tackling some bigger projects later once we felt more secure financially. Again, these projects will all be funded out of our AMLIP, Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool, capital improvement long-term account. So it'll be coming out of savings for these fund in-house projects here up at the top. And then there's seeking FEMA funding for the additional roads, flood mitigation and recovery projects, and looking for outside grants for the smaller firefighting truck. And so I think we're basically finalizing our numbers for these two projects highlighted in yellow up near the top for the design phase for the DRC building and for the how much money to allocate for the preschool post office, old preschool post office building. And then just making decisions here on these few projects down on the bottom, the pending council decisions on the drinking water point source project. And if we needed funds allocated for the gravel pit work and whether we're ready to move forward with reallocating the current funding for the library shelter and shed for design engineering phase. And then any of these other topics that have already been discussed that I don't have highlighted, of course, too. And then just as a reminder, this is not a funding document. This is just a plan. It's a guiding document. Once this plan is finalized, it would come up for approval by a motion at the general meeting. And then for any projects, all projects that want to be or ready to be funded need to have approved project scoping. And so some of these projects have that already and some don't. And so that would be the next step, would be bringing project scoping to the council. And that would be need to be approved at a general meeting. And then we would also would have to do a non-code ordinance, an NCO, to actually fund any of the projects. So even if you put lots of money towards lots of projects in this plan tonight, it's not gonna execute any of them without those next two steps. And so, this is just a guiding document with your best plan for the year. And we always vary from it a little bit. It's just meant to have all of our ideas in one place and to be able to plan for projects coming down the pipe in the future by having them all in one document as for reference. Does anybody have any thoughts? We talked about the preschool post office building before. Are people feeling comfortable with $10,000? It seems like people are feeling comfortable with moving that project forward to provide some maintenance to prevent any additional deterioration. Is there any comment on that?
I feel good with that number. I feel like we've talked a lot about it and we've got some good ideas and hopefully some of that ARP money will come through for it. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I agree that the $10,000 on the old post office or old preschool building is an appropriate start. You know, as was mentioned before, we really don't know what the situation is with that building, so there could be more complications. But you know, at least you know it'll be start towards stabilization.
turn it around from deterioration to improvement.
Okay, great. We'll just leave that at 10 grand, unless anybody has any other thoughts. And then are we good with up to 30 grand for the design and engineering phase for the main building replacement? That seems to be kind of our going engineering rate or cap, I should say. Okay, looks good. I'm gonna put that one in there for now. This one up here, the household hazardous waste facility, this is already funded and in the checking account for the 59,000. And if it ends up being a little more with the shipping now that it's been a year or two since this came forward, we might be able to move funds from a different DRC project that's also involved in that space. So those funds should be taken care of one way or another. And same with this one up here, the road engineer funds might be reallocated from the road improvement funds discussed earlier. So we could bring forward NCOs for those two projects. But I felt like we had good consensus on the Good River Bridge engineering. So I think these all look like a go for now. And I don't think we need to discuss these other two here in the middle. Although I think this number is gonna be closer to 105 from what I was reading today, for the FEMA funds. So then we're down to the council decision. I'm gonna start at the bottom with the library, bike shelter and shed design. We have funds allocated for this project already at $15,000. So are we comfortable with having revised scoping coming forward with that and using that for design and engineering phase for the bike or for the library structure? All right, that was a really resounding yes. Then I don't know if we have additional information from Tom that would help inform whether we're ready to put this in the plan for this year. Again, this is just a plan for the public drinking water point source project development. Is that like something that we'll be ready to spend funds on this year? And we can always add it later also just through the regular capital or regular projects project funding process also, even if it's not ready to be put on this page here.
Tanya, go ahead.
Yeah, I would propose that we move that public drinking water point source project development to seek funding for 2021. Tom's been doing a lot of communication, looking into grants. It's complicated. You know, we don't have a full grasp on what the needs are for the community. You know, how many people need drinking water? What are our options? So that's what I would propose, move that to seek funding. Although if Tom has any other ideas, I'd be happy to hear him, but we're just, 75,000 isn't even gonna do much for us. We need a big, you know, we need a plan, we need some research, and we need to look at it more, comprehensively, and that's going to take additional funding. And it sounds like there are some funding sources.
If I may, Mayor. I've been working with Village Safe Water on drafting a need survey. I put a sample draft of the survey out to Councilmember Lewis and the mayor based on input that I received from Village Safe Water. The idea behind that is to establish a baseline for a study, understanding what the need and what the willingness to pay would be for whatever plan the need would indicate. So it's not just identifying what type of facility we would get. We're assuming that's going to be a water point source, but it's also management of that facility, that is the testing and treatment, and then the delivery. How is the water going to get dispersed? Is it going to be pickup? Is it going to be water truck? All those have associated costs to them. So the survey asks some willingness to pay questions. Trying to find out what the number of homes, they have to be year-round homes to qualify for the federal funding under USDA and the Village Safe Water. So how many of the permanent homes are interested in having a water utility? And then the final question would be, who runs that final, that utility? Will it be the city? Will it be a private entity, or will it be a public-private partnership? That's complicated in the way the grant provides funding. Typically, the applicant has to be the operator of the facility, but there are some exceptions. So it's, I think the first thing we need to do is get a response from the community in terms of need and willingness to pay, and then we can determine whether or not it will be cost effective. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I was just going to say something about what you covered in your last sentence there. I wonder how the community is going to feel about the city taking on another big function here, another big service that's kind of contrary to what we've been hearing from them. So I think this is going to take some pretty careful work with the community to decide whether they really want to do it.
I guess I would be in favor of putting this more on a long-term or mid-range. I can't remember what the next category is for working on it in the next year or two, mid-range. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was trying to recall the background on this project. I know it came up in the initial scoping meeting. My recollection is that this project is based on comments from a community survey from a few years ago. Is that correct?
It was on the survey. It was a top interest item on the survey. But from the survey, we also went through a couple of evolutions. We had a couple of dry summers. We had some wells and cisterns that went dry that kind of emphasized the need for water. We also had folks that were going out to the park and filling up jugs, which complicated how folks were getting water and what the limitations of the park were. And then we had PFAS. So there's been a building of addressing a public water source to address situations like that. However, I don't know that we've ever addressed the willingness to pay aspect of it and the owner-operator aspect of it. When we spoke about this, I think it was 2 years ago, we talked about the city not owning or operating the utility, but establishing the utility and then maybe partnering with a private entity. That was when we were looking at the Village Safe Water USDA grant opportunities. And like I mentioned, those that grant changes every once in a while in terms of what their focus for funding is going to be. And this cycle, they had those two categories. I hope that gives you an idea of that background.
Sure, thanks. Yeah, it was my concern that you know, the responses to the survey may not have been really targeted on what form, water availability might take and what cost. And I think it's a question we need to clarify with the community. I know Mike, council member Taylor brought up that question of cost. And I'm not even too sure we understand what the demand or what the expectations are from that survey. So I would be pretty cautious about this. I probably support the mayor's move to move it on to mid-range or maybe even long range.
Thanks, John. Go ahead, Tanya.
So yeah, this issue caught my eye when Phoebe first sent out the capital improvement project plan. And so it was December 2019, an infrastructure survey distributed, and 180 respondents ranked the importance and urgency of infrastructure. And number one highly ranked was ferries, and number two was safe public water. So I think you're right, everyone's right. It's not, that doesn't mean the town wants a water utility. It means that there's many people in the town that need safe drinking water. And so I think we need to think holistically and creatively about ways to solve that problem. And Tom had an example of some systems that we could potentially get funding for, help people get funding to put in their own rainwater collection, composting toilet facilities, you know, things that people could do at home. It doesn't have to be a water utility owned by the city. That's not necessarily what we mean. That's not what I'm thinking of in terms of safe water. It's just a matter that, you know, the public raised it as a very important issue and that we as a city could help facilitate that by looking for funding and researching a variety of different options.
So Tony, if I could ask a question, with all of that being said, do you still see this as a project for 2021, or do you see it more as a mid-range
Yeah, I guess when I read seek funding for 2021, and I guess in this case it'd be 2022 fiscal year, does that mean it's for getting money in that year, or that's the year that we're seeking the funding? So what I'm thinking about is, you know, right now, Tom is already investigating funding options. And so that's where I see it as, but maybe I'm not as familiar with the different sections of this document. But basically the next 3 years, you know, would be reasonable for seeking funding for this, or just seeking solutions, I guess.
Okay, thanks. That's helpful. Are there any council members that haven't spoken yet that have thoughts on water source?
So I think this project here that is outlined in the capital improvement plan is for a point source project. And so if the council, it seems like we're not quite ready to go with a point source. Tom's going to be continuing to work on safe water options, I think anyways, and bringing those forward to the council as opportunities arise. And I think also that there's plans to do a survey of some kind to try to get at what kind of safe water options the community is interested in spending money on. So I would say to take this off of here, leave it on mid-range with the understanding that staff would continue to work forward on seeking funding and trying to figure out what direction exactly the community is interested in going with this topic. And we could, if we still wanted something in here, or we could put it in a different place, a different project that would just be like a safe water, I'd come up with wording for it, but I don't know if we'd really be needing to spend funds at this point. And this is what this document is about, is spending funds. So if we're still just in the exploratory phase, trying to gather information through surveys, continue trying to identify grants and things like that, then it doesn't need to be in this year for spending money if we don't think we're gonna be spending money this calendar year on that particular topic at this time. It could always be changed later. Does that seem like a solution? Does anybody have an alternative?
Yeah, I don't feel like Tom has very clear direction on where we want him to take this. And I'm pretty sure as far as the survey went, they weren't very clear on it either. Speaking just dollars and cents, I have an idea of just how expensive a treatment plant or delivery system or any of this stuff could get to. And Councilman Taylor said, the last time we talked about it, this would be a whole new division of the city and extremely expensive. But just on a practical point of view, this $75,000 would probably buy an RO unit for every house in town twice over. So if they're just looking for pure drinking water, but there's just a lot of aspects of this to consider.
Okay, thanks, Joe. I think that, Vice Mayor, I think that I'm going to take this off of here because it's the point source water. And if we think that we have a different water project that we would like, that we are going to spend money on this year, then we could add something else on here for that. And otherwise I would say that it'll just be continuing to be discussed at work sessions as we go with development of a survey to see what the community's interest is and what the needs are for individuals for coming up with kind of creative solutions like Tanya was talking about, as opposed to a full-blown water utility. Anybody object? Okay, then the last thing is the gravel pits that we've been talking about. We had put in for a request for funds from the state of Alaska capital legislative budget, but we're assuming we're not going to get anything through that. I know there's been discussions and they're worked with the contractors out there trying to come up with solutions, and it sounds like we're making headway with possibility of using some of the existing ponds. Do we need to have a capital project in here at this time, or is Vice Mayor Van der Denen and Tom's thoughts about that? Or we could leave it, you know, we did last year, we were kind of creative in being non-committal for projects, and we just could put something down here pending further information or something like that. Last year, we only funded one project and the rest, we labeled them something like of interest. So we could do something like that while we're waiting for additional information for this particular topic that's still developing, but likely we'll have some kind of funds to be
go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I think this should be continue to be pending. There's just a lot of things we have to find out this summer. Tom had some information from Fish and Game recently about what it would take to do some more dredging in the fish ponds out there. And then I believe he's still waiting on some kind of word from DNR about acquiring new land. But it's just a lot of stuff to talk about and find out yet this summer.
I was kind of making some executive decisions here and waiting for objections. So how does this look to people for kind of our final version for the plan for 2021? Are people and anybody uncomfortable with this or want any additional changes? And then again, we can always bring projects that come up throughout the year, can always be brought forward with scoping and NCOs at general meetings. This is just our kind of our overarching plan. All right, great discussion. I think we're all set here. I'll go through it and double check to make sure there aren't any last minute changes and have the corresponding sections line up with what we've got here on this page. And then it'll be ready for to be brought up for approval on next Monday night, the 12th. That's all I had, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Phoebe, I appreciate it. Okay, that's all for agenda items. Are there any city council reports? Okay, seeing none, any last minute council comments or discussion items? Go ahead, John.
I was wondering if you, Mayor, or Tom might be able to comment on the resolution of commendation for the school academic team.
You're talking about the Ocean Bowl?
Yes.
So I believe that will be presented at the general meeting next week. But I can pull up the document here real quick. John, I guess, sorry, could you just clarify exactly what you'd like us to touch on tonight since we'll be presenting it at the general meeting next week?
Sure. Yeah, no, I didn't know whether, you know, all the council members were aware of the achievement of the school Ocean Bowl team but if it's something that can be just addressed at the presentation next at the general meeting, that's fine too.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Karen did say that it's in the packet too for the council members, but the Gustavus team finished fourth out of 16 teams in the Ocean Bowl. So, oh, sorry, second typo on here. Oh, nope. In 2020, they finished fourth. My apologies. This year they finished second. So I'll read it into the record next week too, but thank you for bringing it up, John. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, just a bit of a public notice. We were supposed to be moving the steel float back to the dock real soon here. The landing craft, the claim jumpers, out on a mission to Pelican for the next few days. And we may get it moved in next week, depending on the weather. It could be a little later, but the contractor is delayed with a personnel problem. And he will be working here. I believe it's the second week of May, which means we'll have another cancellation of a ferry then. So sounds about right. Thanks.
change.
Anything else from the council before we adjourn for the evening? Okay, thank you. Good night.